This weekend, the Fountain of Life Covenant Church hosted a town hall meeting on how to address some of the racial disparities in Madison. Some of the statistics are startling. In Wisconsin, black males are incarcerated at the highest rate in the country, meaning that half of all black men will spend time in jail by the time they're 30.
In education, fourth and eighth grade black students have the lowest average reading ability in the country, with the widest achievement gap of any state. And in Wisconsin, African-American babies are three times more likely to die before they turn one than white babies.
Reverend Alex G. was behind this weekend's town hall meeting and hopes to work on some of these problems in the community. He's with us today to talk about the next steps for addressing these issues in Madison. Alex G. is pastor at the Fountain of Life Covenant Church and CEO of the nonprofit Nehemiah Center of Urban Leadership. Reverend G., welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Sure. We talked with you leading up to the town hall meeting, and now it's happened. How did it go? Who came to the meeting?
First of all, the outcome was fantastic. It was better than anything we could have imagined. I would have been happy with 200 people. We had over 650 people in attendance. We had to wire an extra monitor for our foyer area. We had 200 people in the overflow, 450 in the sanctuary. Police officers were there, nonprofit CEOs, representatives from philanthropic organizations. I saw a president from local, from St. Mary's Hospital, elected officials from the school boards, city council. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was there. It was amazing. The town came out.
It sounds like you were pleasantly surprised both by the number and the breadth of people that were there.
I sure was. Well, one of the things that was pressing on my heart when calling the town hall meeting was really helping to initiate the discussion. As I mentioned in my Justified Anger article in the Cap Times on the 18th of December, is that there's such a fear to talk about race for the fear that someone's going to be called a racist or insensitive. So the fact that people wanted to come and hear an African-American community leader talk about his experiences, his thoughts, his writing was just amazing. So I walked away with a sense that people do care, that this can be the Madison that I want it to be, that we want it to be. And I just think the diversity of the crowd, both economically, educationally, experientially, politically, was just overwhelming.
Well, and it's interesting, Reverend G., because I think there are a lot of people that would hear about the issues, hear those horrifying, really, statistics, and, you know, shake their heads and say, oh, that's really horrible, but wouldn't necessarily come out to a town meeting. But it seems like, for some reason, the chord was struck so deeply that they did come out. What does that say to you about where we might be at in actually making progress on these issues?
Well, I say this cautiously, but I feel that because we are at a tipping point in our community, it could certainly mean that there are enough people who care about the community and its inclusion of all people that we can really make a difference. Now, there's another group of people who are in my ear saying, we've had the momentum, we've had this feeling before, and it's fallen by the wayside. I'm actually a little bit more optimistic than that, and I am certainly more optimistic than I was when I wrote my article 2 months ago. Seeing that many people come out on a February, they parked at the Villager Mall and walked up Badger Road to our facility. We had the police department brought a highway sign out telling people where to park. Boys and Girls Club let us use their vans to shuttle people. It just showed me that people want to talk, they want to hear, and they want to close the gap. And it was heartwarming. At the end of my speech, I said to the people that I'm going to remember Saturday evening for the rest of my life. Now, I know that doesn't fix the issues that are there, but that certainly sent a clear message to me. But more importantly, it sent a clear message, hopefully, to philanthropic organizations, to social service organizations, to governmental organizations, that this is something the community has to pay attention to, because you just can't sneeze at 650 people in Madison gathering on a Saturday afternoon in February to talk about this topic. You can't tell me anymore that this is not important and that we can't move on it.
So it sounds like you feel like that tipping point has been reached on acknowledging and accepting that these problems are here and that they need to be addressed, But will it be as easy to get to that next step of a consensus of what the answers are to those problems?
I feel we know what so many of the answers are, honestly, that what's been troubling is how do we build capacity in the organizations who can meet the need? How do we build up the leaders who are helping to head those organizations? And how do we get resources to those organizations that have the propensity to do that? And so not that solutions are easy, but getting people to understand that indigenous groups actually know what's best for them, that's really hard work. I mean, that's something that people of color or disenfranchised people have been fighting for forever, that the people who need services actually have the audacity to voice what they need. That's not how we go about our typical social services. That's not how we fix things. We like to sit around and think about what people need, and we provide it so that they are ingratiated towards us and dependent on us. So I feel that stating that I'm building a coalition of African-American leaders and we're helping to focus on three areas, because I've talked to fraternities, sororities, African-American execs of nonprofits. I've talked to African-American leaders of institutions. I've talked to representatives of various educational institutions. There are many important issues, but what rises to the top are issues of economic development. Because it's more than jobs, it's loans, it's helping people to acquire businesses, but it's economic empowerment, mass incarceration, and the achievement gap. So educational issues that jobs, mass incarceration, and education are the three major areas that we've got to focus on. If the coalition will work, we're working together to state what's out there. We'll also do research to make sure that we're understanding what's being provided in our community. But we're going to also find out what the gaps are. We're going to be able to say, here's what's really needed to help with the education gap. Here's what's needed to reduce mass incarceration.
We're going to have to leave it there for just a moment. We're talking with Reverend Alex G. about his movement to work on some of the racial disparities in Madison.
And we'd like to hear your solutions, too. What do you think should be done to help close the achievement gap in Wisconsin or to lower the incarceration rate of black males? What can we do to foster more equality in our communities in Wisconsin? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. We're picking up our discussion now with Reverend Alex G. on what actions we can take to address racial disparities in our communities, and we're taking your calls now.
We want to know what you think we as individuals or as members of larger communities can do to help close the achievement gap in Wisconsin and to lower the incarceration rate of black males. What can we be doing to put more resources into our communities to build more equality? And what has your community done, if anything, to address these issues? We'd love to have you share your ideas and experiences at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And Reverend G., we do have Chelsea in La Crosse on the line, so let's go there. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess kind of my question and idea comes from my background in doing a year in AmeriCorps in the Green Bay Public Schools, and you definitely can see that there is a gap in the achievement gap in talking about trying to eliminate incarceration and do that in minorities. I think it comes down to, like, breaking the cycle, and what is the community going to do to kind of help those people in those low socioeconomic statuses or that are some how disadvantaged, because I don't think that children can learn if they're living in home environments that aren't stable. And one of my ideas, going off something in Baltimore that they're doing at the Holistic Health Foundation, is incorporating, like, mindfulness techniques, whether in yoga or through meditation in the Baltimore Public Schools. And through over the 10 years that they have incorporated this to the inner city kids, they've found that grades have went up and behaviors have went down. So do you think that maybe this is something that we could try in our local communities as coming together and helping these youth break the cycle?
Thanks for that call, Chelsea. Reverend G.?
I think that those are great suggestions. I just want to make sure that I make it clear the community is not sitting back. When I say community, I mean African Americans. They're not sitting back asking everyone to fix things for us. We've been saying for years, I'm a product of the Madison Metropolitan School District. We need more teachers who look like us. As a kid who grew up, I had only one African-American male teacher, and I was in the school district from second grade through graduation from high school. We talked about needing an inclusion in material and curriculum that's more inclusive, something that extends beyond the slave chapter, that talks about the Harlem Renaissance, the contributions of African-Americans and other people of color. So those are things that we want systemic change around. We know that getting parental involvement and more support for kids and encouraging kids to know that learning is really cool, those are things that we're working on. We have organizations that do that. I want my coalition to work to build more capacity in those grassroots organizations so that we get into the schools more, we partner with the parents more, and we have a greater presence in the schools. So the community is more than ready and willing to get involved. And there are things we've been doing. We just need some of the systemic things to be stopped so that the kids can succeed. I mean, kids really learn better when teachers understand them and their culture and look like them, but that's just something we have not been able to do a good enough job of in our school district.
Thanks for that call, Chelsea. And Reverend G, you have certainly emerged as a leader. You've been a leader in the community for a long time, but you've emerged as a really key part of this movement. But I know you would be the first to say that it's not going to be up to a single leader. It's really going to be up to the community as a whole. You've set up a coalition of Black community leaders to tackle a lot of these issues. Who makes up that coalition?
Well, my core members are Michael Johnson from the Boys and Girls Club, Kleem Kerr from Urban League of Greater Madison, Lisa Kerr, Keitra Burnett, Laleda G, who runs a program called Laleda Living Room, helping teen moms, and Patrick Yates, who's a minister at our church. We're also building components of that so that the African-American Council of Churches is represented in our group, fraternities and sororities, other social organizations, because we want to have everyone represented at the table. And then we want to work with organizations that are not necessarily African-American led, but are serving the needs of our kids and our families. We have just found, history tells us, that when you have people who are close to the ground saying, this is what our community needs, and those resources are marshaled, we have a much greater chance of success. And we've been asking people to get involved. We've been asking the broader community to learn about the history of racism and prejudice in our country. We're having free workshops. If people go to madisonjustifiedanger.com, they can register to become a part of our educational series. They can learn about what's happening. They can get involved and find out what cultural organizations are doing and where they can plug in. We want to help marshal people from their couches to getting involved in our community, because that's a big part of making the community aware. So you're right, I can't do this alone, but I've got some very able-bodied women and men who are keeping my feet to the fire, and we are tackling this together. And we're still building the coalition. That's not fully defined, but this is the group that I've been meeting with for the past several weeks, and we have a lot of synergy and a lot of hope, and we want to move while this excitement is so strong.
As is the case with many social movements and movements for change, it's the young people who are often heavily impacted and also who can help break that ongoing cycle. What is this movement, this coalition, doing to make sure that there are young people whose voices are being heard directly, not just through those who are working with them?
That is a great question. We're planning and strategizing for so many listening sessions. They're not going to be like the town hall meetings. That was a group activity so that we could address issues, large-scale issues in regards to my article and my essay. But I want to sit down and talk to African-American men. I want to go into schools and I want to interview them. We want to talk to African-American women who are students. We want to ask them, what are they seeing? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? And so when I talk about asking people what they need, I mean students as well. We can't assume to know everything that they need, but very few people ask them. And that's part of what we're going to do. We're going to get it in their own words. We're going to meet with ex-offenders to find out what they need, housing, employment, support. But with the academic achievement, we're going to specifically ask African-American boys and girls, what are they not getting? What do they need? What do their younger brothers and sisters need to succeed in the school district? And that's part of the information we're going to bring forward to this community once we've done some more of our investigation and our agenda setting with this coalition.
Do you think you'll be able to utilize things like social media and other technology to reach those young people in ways that they're most familiar with and comfortable with?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Two of my daughter's teachers from West High School were present. I didn't know they were until afterwards. But in three of her classes, they're talking about the article and the topic, and they didn't know she was my daughter. The teachers ask, is Alex G your father? Mm. After they've already chosen to talk about the subject matter, students have said to her, white students have said, we've read your dad's article. When's he coming to our school? We want to help. So there's this excitement among students to show their solidarity that they really want all students to succeed. Because if we don't fix this racial disparity, it harms all children. Because we're living in a world that's more pluralistic. And if students don't get to build strong relationships in high school, it becomes harder to really be a universal community as they grow older. So this is a golden opportunity. But if we have black students failing the way they do, everyone in this community fails, and we can't afford to have that. Madison deserves better than that. I know African-American families do, but Madison deserves better than what we're getting right now.
Alex, you're taking on problems and issues that have been entrenched for decades and even centuries. What will success look like for you in this effort?
That's a great question. It would look like people talking about race. It would look like employers talking about it, HR directors talking about it, teachers talking about it, greater rates of graduation, greater percentages of students, of teachers of color, greater retention of teachers of color, creation of more jobs for men of color, and reducing this awful recidivism rate for African-American men. So much of this is quantified that just any movement in the right direction over the next 2 years is going to be major. But having people talk about it and say, we agree that this is wrong and we're going to listen to the community and follow their lead, if we can get a consensus that the community has this pulse on what's happening and we want to support them, if we can get the community and the philanthropic community and the business community and the nonprofits saying that, that would be huge success in 2 years.
Well, Alex G., thanks so much for spending time with us today.
I so appreciate your inviting me.
That was Reverend Alex G., pastor at the Fountain of Life Covenant Church and CEO of the nonprofit Nehemiah Center of Urban Leadership.